Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. And we're going to start with the front page of the commercial news with a story entitled Hispanic Heritage. Danville Area Community College event features speaker food. This is by Carol Rome. Danville. A crowd of Danville area community college students listened to Eduardo Cabrera, American University professor and an award-winning author, talk about the challenges immigrants face in the United States and read a couple of short stories from his book. Cabrera's presentation, plus a sampling of Hispanic and Latin American foods on Monday, were sponsored by the DACC Hispanic Recruitment and Retention Team to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. Cabrera, a professor of Spanish and chair of the Department of Modern Languages at Millikan, is the winner of the 2018 International Latino Book Awards contest in the Best Latino-Focused Fiction Book Spanish category. His book, Historias de Immigrantes, or Immigrant Stories, focuses on the experiences of immigrants living in the United States. The characters of the nine vignettes in his book come to life through situations drawn from real-life circumstances of many immigrants in which an aesthetic and reality and fiction coexist. An Argentinian native, Cabrera said he has lived in many places around the United States, including California, Louisville, Lubbock, Texas, and now Decatur for the last 15 years. In the different places he has lived at around the country, he said he noticed that people tended to stereotype all Latin Americans as Mexican or as sharing the same language and culture, which is far from the truth. Miami is home to many Cuban immigrants. Immigrants from Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic have settled in New York City, and Mexican immigrants are prevalent out west, he said. I teach the diversity and richness of Latin American cultures, he said. We shouldn't do stereotypes because Latin Americans are all very different. He said immigrants have different reasons for wanting to come to the United States. Some come here for the opportunities. Some come here to escape extreme poverty and political violence, he said. They come here to live in a much safer environment. It's different for immigrants in different states, he said. As immigrants, we feel more protected in some cities and states than in others. Cabrera read two short stories from his book. The first story, titled Lost Objects, highlighted the typical stereotypes Latin Americans face. The second story, he told of a male Mexican immigrant in Arizona who was forced to wear a pink inmate uniform and was incarcerated for months because he was undocumented. The man was hopeful he would be released in time so he could see his ill mother, but he learned she died while he was still being detained. In the end, it didn't matter if he was deported or remained a prisoner because he couldn't make it home before his mother died, Cabrera said. Immigrants that are deported spend years in cells, he said. We live in different times now in the United States. Immigrants live with one foot here and one foot in our country of origin because we miss our families and friends, he said. Cabrera said he is hopeful that the next generation will be more compassionate and understanding about the plight of immigrants. There is optimism and faith in young people, he said. It's important to feel solidarity with the people who are suffering. Following the presentation, the students were treated to a wide array of delicacies from Hispanic and Latin American countries. Anna Nasser, director of DACC's Child Care Development Center and one of the organizers of the event, prepared a chili and beef and corn casserole called pastel de choclo, which uses the same meat mixture found in the filling of Chilean empanadas. Nasser's daughter, Dawn, who is coordinator of the campus and community resources and an academic advisor at DACC, made ceviche and a Chilean dessert called brazo de reina, which literally means queen's arm. The dessert is a jelly roll style cake with manjar, which is a sweet caramel filling. Some of the other cuisine included frijoles, churros, tamales, Chilean salsa, flan, Spanish rice, and many cookies and sweets. DACC student Alejandra Limon said the event made her want to learn more about her family's culture. My dad lived in Mexico, but we've only visited there once when I was 10 or so. Limon added, I like the celebrations they do here at DACC all the time. DACC student Rachel Cyphers said she enjoyed the presentation and the food. It's always interesting to learn about other cultures, she said. Our next story from the front page of the Commercial News is entitled Rail Project on City Agenda. Committee also to act on roundabout costs. This is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Griffin Street Railroad improvements and additional roundabout costs are among the items on tonight's agenda for the Danville City Council's Public Works Committee. The committee will consider approving a $108,717 contract with Cross Construction of Urbana for the sidewalk extension and installation of pedestrian gates across the CSX railroad tracks and right-of-way on Griffin Street. Cross Construction was the lowest of four bidders. Funding comes from the city's Community Development Block Grant funds. The city is trying to make the crossing safer. It's where most recently a 13-year-old died in June of 2017 after being hit by a train while on his bicycle. The city already has entered into an agreement with CSX Transportation Incorporated for CSXT's review, associated engineering and installation costs, and construction engineering and inspection related to the project. In other business, aldermen will consider approving additional work at a cost of $24,140 for the English and Jackson Streets roundabout intersection. According to the resolution, the city funded the intersection improvements and additional work, such as conduits, sidewalks, pavement, and curbing, were completed but were ineligible to be funded with the previously allocated funds. Funding comes from the city's gas tax, the Infrastructure Development and Improvement Program. The contractor for the $734,000 project was Stark Excavating of Bloomington. The roundabout opened in October of 2018. Committee members will also consider the following items. Amending the $80,848 storm drainage improvement contract with Big O Services. Additional asphalt and pipe underdrains were needed for the Harrison Park Golf Course driveway, and a storm drainage tile under Logan Avenue was determined to be failing and needed replacement. The additional work cost $30,661. The total cost was about $111,509. The work is paid from the city's Sewer Enterprise Fund for Storm Infrastructure Improvement. Also approving an $82,000 contract with River City Roofing of Peoria for roof repairs at Danville Mass Transit, 101 North Jackson Street. The repairs are due to hail damage. A $53,030 bid from Century Roofing of Covington, Indiana also was received, but the resolution states the bidder whose proposal most closely aligned with the repairs that the insurance adjuster recommended was River City Roofing. All work will be paid with insurance funds. Our next story is entitled Urbana Police Probe Danville Man's Death. And this is a staff report in the Commercial News. Urbana. A Danville man was the victim of a shooting in Urbana on Saturday night. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup has identified the man as 21-year-old Tramiel Hooser. He was pronounced dead at 8:08 p.m. Saturday at Carl Foundation Hospital. In a news release, police are calling the death a murder. About 7:28 p.m. on Saturday, Urbana police officers were dispatched to the Colorado Ridge apartment complex at 703 East Colorado for what was initially reported as an armed subject call, according to a news release. Officers arrived 3 minutes later, and people at the scene directed them to a car in the parking lot. Officers found a man sitting in the car who had been shot multiple times. The victim was transported to Carl's emergency room, where he died. A second victim, with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound, later arrived at Carl in a private vehicle. Both victims were sitting in the same car at the time of the shooting. The Urbana Police Department is being assisted in the investigation by the Champaign County Coroner's Office and the Illinois State Police Crime Scene Investigation Unit. Anyone with further information, photographs, or video recordings is encouraged to call the Urbana Police Department at 217-384-2320. Detectives will arrange to meet with witnesses privately. And next we're going to move over to the News Gazette for a couple of brief stories. The first is entitled, Police Drive-By Shooting Leaves Three Women Injured. Danville, and this is by Tracy Crane. Danville police are investigating a drive-by shooting on East Main Street early Sunday morning that injured three women. Witnesses told Danville police that at 2:01 a.m. Sunday, a vehicle was driving eastbound in the 500 block of East Main Street when someone shot from the vehicle. Struck by gunfire were a 22-year-old woman, a 35-year-old woman, and a 23-year-old woman, all from Danville. Two of the victims drove themselves to OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center at 812 North Logan Avenue, and all three suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The investigation into the incident continues, and police encourage anyone with information to call 217-431-2250 or call Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. And from the local news section, we have this story entitled Solar Project Hopes for Spring Start. Ridge Farm, one of a handful of local community solar projects selected in the Illinois Power Agency lottery earlier this year, is moving forward in southern Vermilion County with plans to begin construction next spring. Dynamic Energy, headquartered in Pennsylvania, hopes to begin building a 2-megawatt solar array on 15 acres of farm ground southeast of Ridge Farm, according to Business Development Director Micah Fuchs. "We're pretty excited to get moving on this project," he said. "First, the Vermilion County Board must sign off on the project by issuing a permit. That could be okayed as soon as tonight's meeting." "Construction would take about 3 months," said Fuchs, who declined to disclose the total project cost. Dynamic Energy also has two other solar projects in DeKalb and Joe Davis counties that were awarded renewable energy credits in the Illinois Power Agency's April lottery. Fuchs said this one in the Ridge Farm area is the company's only solar project in Ameren territory, and the company chose the site because it's near an electrical substation. The company will be signing a 30-year lease with property owners. "The solar panels won't be any taller than the height the corn grows," Fuchs said. "A fence will surround the perimeter with native plants and grasses, covering the ground to help retain moisture." Typically, he said, this size of array will produce enough electricity to power 700 to 1,000 homes. And that was contributed by Tracy Crane. And now we'll turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. And the first is for Ruth Knight. Ruth Elaine Knight, 90, of rural Indianola, Illinois, passed away at 8:05 p.m. on Saturday, October 5th, 2019, at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hopston. Per her wishes, cremation rites will be accorded. A visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on Thursday, October 10th, at Indianola United Methodist Church, 1 North High Street in Indianola. The memorial service will follow the visitation at 11 a.m. at the church, with David Almy officiating. Burial will follow in Woodlawn Cemetery of Indianola. Memorials may be made to Indianola United Methodist Church, 1 North High Street, Indianola, Illinois, 61850, or to the Woodlawn Cemetery Association at 120 Wild Rose Avenue, Indianola, Illinois, 61850. Ruth's family would like to extend a thank you to all the caregivers who cared for their mother. Charles Roden. Charles G. Roden, 88, of Georgetown, passed away at 1:30 p.m. Sunday, October 6, 2019, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of Charles' life will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday, October 10th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown at 200 East West Street, with Pastor Matt Felisky officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, October 9th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Crown Hill Cemetery, Ridge Farm, with military rites conducted by the American Legion Dornblaster Post 203. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in his name to Georgetown United Methodist Church. Lois Wright. Lois J. Wright, 93, went to her heavenly home on October 4th, 2019, after a progressing illness. A celebration of life will be held on Wednesday, October 9th, 2019, at 1 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Reverend Paul D. Rebert, Senior Pastor of the First Baptist Church of Danville, will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be held Wednesday, October 9th, 2019, from noon to 1 p.m. at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, a donation may be sent to the First Presbyterian Church at 717 Prosperity Farms Road, North Palm Beach, Florida, 33408, for children's education. Emma Verplank. Emma Argina Coughing Hunter Verplank, 98, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at the Waters of Covington on Saturday, October 5th, 2019, with family by her side. A graveside service for Emma will be conducted per her wishes at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time Wednesday, October 9th, at Osborne Prairie Cemetery. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Covington is entrusted with Emma's final wishes. Cheryl Lynn Cox. Cheryl Lynn Cox, 61, of Danville, passed away at 1:10 a.m. October 4th, 2019, at Danville Care Center in Danville. A celebration of life will be held on Tuesday, October 8th, 2019, at 2 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Pastor Dave Anderson will be officiating. Burial will be in Rossville Cemetery, and visitation will be held on Monday, October 7th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorials in Cheryl's memory may be given to the First Church of the Nazarene in Danville. Linda Townsley Wakefield. Linda Wakefield, 81, of Bradenton, Florida, passed away September 25, 2019. Linda will be remembered for her kindness, generosity, her love of family and friends, her inspiration to others pursuing a meaningful life, and being a most loving wife and mother. She will be missed by all. Tramiel Hooser, 21, of Danville, died at 8:08 p.m. Saturday, October 5, 2019, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville. And returning to the commercial news, we have a little time left, so we will go to an item from the editorial page, and this is a column by Patrick Buchanan. It's entitled, Is China the Country of the Future? Who lost China? With the fall of the nationalist government of Chiang Kai-shek, the defeat of his armies, and the flight to Formosa, that was the question of the hour in 1949. And no one demanded to know more insistently than the anti-communist congressman John F. Kennedy. Whatever share of the responsibility was Roosevelt's, and whatever share was General George Marshall's, the vital interest of the United States and the independent integrity of China was sacrificed, and the foundation was laid for the present tragic situation in the Far East. Tragic indeed was the situation. The most populous nation on earth, for which America had risked and fought a war with the Japanese Empire, had been lost to Stalin's empire. A year after Peking fell to Mao Zedong, Chinese armies stormed into Korea to drive the Americans back from the Yalu River and back across the 38th parallel, threatening to throw them off the peninsula. In the 7 decades since October 1949, millions of Chinese have perished in ideological programs like the Great Leap Forward of the 50s and the Great Proletarian Cultural Revolution, during which President Nixon came to China. Yet, in terms of national and state power over those 70 years, and especially in the last 30, when America threw open her markets to Chinese goods and Beijing ran up $4 trillion to $5 trillion in trade surpluses with the U.S., a new China arose. It was on display this week in Tiananmen Square. The China of Xi Jinping boasts land and submarine-based missiles and bombers that provide a strategic deterrent against the United States. Beijing's conventional forces on land, sea, and in air and space rival any on Earth. Yet, since Y2K, its economy has swept past that of Italy, France, Britain, Germany, and Japan to become the world's second largest. China is now the world's premier manufacturing power. Yet, under Xi Jinping, the mask of benign giant has slipped, and the menacing face of 21st century China is being revealed for its people, its neighbors, and the world to see. The Uyghurs of West China are being forced into re-education camps to be cured of their tribalist, nationalist, and Islamic beliefs. Christians are being persecuted. Tibetans are being replaced in their homeland by Han Chinese. The Communist Party's role and rule as the font of ideological, political, and moral truth is being elevated and imposed. The Chinese still hold land seized from India 50 years ago. China now claims as sovereign territory virtually all of a South China Sea, which encompasses territorial waters of six nations. It has begun building air, naval, and military bases on rocks and reefs belonging to Manila. China has warned foreign warships to stay out of the Taiwan Strait and has built up its force on the mainland, opposite the island, warning that any move by Taiwan to declare independence would be regarded as an act of war. It claims the Japanese-held Senkaku Islands. In its Belt and Road projects to tie China to Central and South Asia and Europe, China has lent billions to build ports, only to take possession of those facilities when local regimes default on their loans. But not all is going well for the regime on its 70th birthday. The people of Hong Kong, who are surely being cheered by many on the mainland of China, have been protesting for months, demanding the liberty and independence for which American patriots fought in our revolution, not Mao's revolution. Nor are the newly prosperous Chinese people fools. They relish the rising power of China and the respect their country commands of the world, but they know it was not Marx, Lenin, or Mao who produced their prosperity. It was capitalism. They cannot but be uneasy seeing the freedoms and benefits they enjoy being dissipated in a trade war with the Americans and the new repression issuing from Beijing. Among the epochal blunders America has committed since the end of the Cold War, three stand out. The first was our disastrous plunge into the Middle East to create regimes oriented to the West. The second was the expansion of NATO to the front porch of Russia, driving the largest nation on Earth and one of its most formidable nuclear powers into the arms of China. The third was to throw open America's markets to Chinese goods on favorable terms, which led to the enrichment and empowerment of a regime whose long-term threat to U.S. interests and American values is as great as was that of the Soviet Union in the Cold War. The question for America's statesmen is how to cope with the rising challenge of China while avoiding a war that would be a calamity for all mankind. Patience, prudence, and perseverance commend themselves. But the first necessity is to toss out the ideological liberalism which proclaims that David Ricardo's free trade dogmatism is truth for all nations at all times, and that John Locke's ideas apply to all cultures and countries. And quickly before we end today, we have this from the Community Briefs column. Danville, teens can join the Danville Public Library's Teen Advisory Board, open to ages 12 to 18. Applications are available in the Teen Zone or Children's Department. TAB meets at 5 p.m. Wednesday in the Children's Program Room. Also, 6 to 7 Wednesday, Tween Gaming is a chance for children ages 8 to 11 to come together in the Children's Program Room. A fundraiser is set. Culver's of Danville at 3210 North Vermilion Street will donate a portion of its sales from 5 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday to raise funds for Schlarman Academy. And in Westville, Halloween costumes, masks, and accessories in good condition can be donated at the Westville Public Library anytime until Friday. The costumes will be given away from 3 to 5:30 p.m. Friday and 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday in the library community room to kids who need costumes. To donate, call the library at 267-3170 for more information. And that takes us to the end of our time for the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. My name is Greg. And as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you today. I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care.